Good afternoon and welcome to the 330 Sports Show. My name is Justin Coffin. Today is Thursday, August 18th, 2022. We are recording live from downtown Youngstown at Youngstown Studios. Joe is kind of with me today. He was up till about 4 a.m. in Mansfield on a ghost hunt last night at the reformatory where the Shawshank Redemption was filmed. So I'll have him chime in about that in a little while. But little bit in the news today. If you're a Cleveland Browns fan, NFL fan, so obviously the suspension was settled and came to an agreement today. So let's just go over the terms and then we'll talk about it a little bit. So here is the decision on the Deshaun Watson suspension. It is going to be 11 games. So that is increased from the 6 games originally that Sue L. Robinson put forth. There will be a $5 million fine levied upon Deshaun Watson, which is the most ever put on an NFL player. He will have mandatory evaluation and treatment, which I think is good, which I think a lot of people were looking for. The suspension will begin August 30th. So he will be able to stay with the Browns and practice throughout the preseason. Kevin Stefanski said he will not play in another preseason game, however. But the final roster cuts come August 30th, and that's when your 53-man roster has to be set. So that is when his suspension will begin. He will be allowed to return to the facility in Berea on October 10th. So pretty significant there that he has to be away from the facility and the team, you know, for a good 2 months, you know, starting August 30th, or a month and a half at least. He will be allowed to return to practice on November 14th. These are all collectively bargained dates and time periods. And then he will come back and play December 4th, which December 4th sounds so long, but we know the NFL season goes now into the month of January. In addition, the Cleveland Browns organization will be donating $1 million as well as the NFL to sexual misconduct organizations to bring awareness, which I think we were all sort of thinking was a very smart idea in all of this. You know, we don't want this to go in vain and just say, well, you know, the suspension served. Let's bring some awareness to this. Let's, you know, maybe make some good out of this, you know, bad and ugly situation. So the NFL doesn't quite get what it wants. Deshaun Watson and his camp doesn't quite get what they want, but I think that's how negotiations work. If it's a good negotiation, both sides are kind of a little bit unhappy. I think there's a quote somewhere about that, you know, directly, but like a sign of a good negotiation is no one ends up leaving the room happy, because, you know, they're making trade-offs that they don't necessarily want to, but this is where we're at. This is what it ends up with. And the NFL just always finds a way. Obviously, Baker Mayfield, who left the Browns, will play in his first game back against the Cleveland Browns. After the 11-game suspension, Deshaun Watson, his first game back, will be in Houston against his old team, the Houston Texans. So very interesting how the schedule works. I know that that was a point of contention that was rumored to be out there. Like, the NFL did not want Deshaun Watson playing in Houston. However, that's going to happen. And, you know, it is what it is by, you know, the way the NFLPA, Deshaun Watson's reps and the NFL reps, the way they bargained and agreed to this, it worked out. So I think all in all, this, you know, probably a lot of people aren't going to be happy. And I get it. You know, whatever side of the fence you're on this, and in no way am I defending Deshaun Watson's actions or what he did on or off the field. We don't know the full extent. We haven't been, you know, I guess there's a lot of information out there, but, you know, you could also say the process played out. There was no legal ramifications. You know, two grand juries dismissed the charges. So in a court of law, he was found not guilty, let's say, maybe not innocent, but not guilty. There wasn't enough evidence to bring to trial. So that's where we stand. So Joe, just real quick thoughts on what you think about this whole ordeal.
I'm glad it's done with.
Yeah.
Like, the faster we move on from mm-hmm. that headline, the better.
And I think, you know, I hate to use the cliche time heals all wounds, because we do have to remember, you know, there are people affected by this, and, you know, people out there that have been sexually abused, and, you know, that might have been Browns fans and might not be any longer. And that is absolutely their right. And, you know, the Browns, you know, I know they're getting kind of the stink eye, I guess, by a lot of fans, by a lot of media people. I think there's some grandstanding out there. If you guys know what that is, it's kind of when you're, you know, you're there's a lot of national people, I feel like, that stand on this grandstand and they preach this and that, but they don't necessarily mean it. They're doing it for ratings. They're talking heads, whatever. I'm kind of just toeing the line in the middle, reporting what I know and saying what I think. And it is what it is at this point. But like Joe, I think it's best if we all turn the page, move on. And again, if you were a fan of the Browns before Deshaun Watson, you will probably be a fan of the Browns after Deshaun Watson. And hopefully, you know, a lot of Browns fans will maintain to be a fan with Deshaun Watson too. So there's the past, the present, and the future. We're living in the present, and let's see what happens. So the Browns will open up in about 4 weeks, and you know, the season's coming fast. And you know, we talked about this timeline before, so I was just curious because I knew a few of the dates. So I'm going to go back real quick to an article that kind of broke down this timeline. I apologize. I'm going to be looking at my phone a little bit as I go through this. But the first lawsuit against Deshaun Watson was filed way back in March of 2021. So we're talking the last game he played in was well over 500 days ago, the last meaningful game. So the last game he played in was January 3rd, 2021 in a 41-38. I believe that was a loss to the Tennessee Titans. Then, the reports started coming out late January. March 16th, 2021 is when the first civil lawsuit was filed. Then, more and more came as, you know, the news came out. And then, you know, the Houston Police Department and the county next to them, it just sort of snowballed. And then all this information came out. So last year, the 2021 season, the Miami Dolphins were courting Deshaun Watson, and they had a trade in place, but part of the agreement was all of the lawsuits had to be settled. So they obviously did not get that done. The trade didn't happen. And the league said, Roger Goodell said, they didn't have enough sufficient evidence to place him on the exempt list. So he remains in Houston. You know, all the stuff goes on and on and on. Then we get into March of this previous year. So we get into the two grand juries in March, dismiss the cases. 13 teams were alleged to have put in for Deshaun Watson. You know, he kind of narrowed that list to four. And I think where the problem comes, you know, Joe and I talked a lot about this on Tuesday's show about, you know, just the whole, this has become a circus when it really could have been expedited. It would have been out of the news cycle and just over with. Yeah, it would have been talked about here and there, but it would have been more of a blip than all these huge news stories and continuing to put it out there. So anyway, 13 teams try to acquire Deshaun Watson. It ends up down to four. The Browns end up, getting the rights to his services. They trade three first-round draft picks, bring him in. And, you know, the NFL, a lot of owners were not happy about the guaranteed money of his contract. $230 million was the most guaranteed money in the history of the NFL. And, he does not make the most by annual salary, but he makes the most guaranteed money in NFL history, which at the end of the day is it's guaranteed. That's what he's going to get paid. And he gets a $5 million fine. And on top of that, he will be miss his game checks from this year from his base salary. Now, there's where a point of contention comes into fact. So his base salary this year for the Browns is only something like a little over $1 million. There was a lot of signing bonus money in there. So that money he keeps. The money from his contract, he will miss those game checks for each week he's suspended. So 11 games doesn't add up to a ton of money, at least, by his contract standards. Now, I want to just put this out there because I've done some digging a little bit on this, and the Browns have done this with many of their players. So I think there's a little bit of a false narrative that the Browns did this so, Deshaun Watson wouldn't be hurt as financially or wouldn't have as much punitive damages. Now, that may be true. It may not be true. I don't know. I'm just going to tell you that Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt, Myles Garrett, Denzel Ward, and many, many, many other players around the league, such as Tyreek Hill, who makes a ton of money, a lot of their contracts have been based in this same or structured in this same way, where the first year the money sort of strung along to kind of kick the can down the road for the salary cap, which continues to go up and up and up each year. So I just want to put that out there, because the Browns' job, whether it's, you can like the Haslams, not like the Haslams, you can like Stefanski or not like Stefanski, and Andrew Berry, you can like him or not like him, whatever. Their job is to put a winning product on the field, and they have done a great job from a roster building standpoint. When you get a quarterback behind center that is legitimately a top 10 quarterback, arguably a top 5 quarterback, they're doing their job. Now, they probably thought the suspension would be lower, and they're going to take a PR hit, and rightfully so. That's what all the teams that knew they were getting into this were going to get. Carolina being one of those teams, Atlanta, the New Orleans Saints, and obviously the Miami Dolphins, and many, many more. So it is what it is at this point, and it's a frustrating situation, and I get it if you're a Browns fan. If you're not a Browns fan, whatever it might be, there's going to be a lot of upset people out there, and I totally, totally get that. But as Joe said earlier, I think we can all turn the page, move on, and, you can root for the Browns and hope Jacoby Brissett is the guy to sort of, not carry them. I think he's more of a game managing type. But if you look back at Jacoby Brissett's career, he replaced Andrew Luck in Indy when he retired suddenly. He stepped in for the Miami Dolphins when Tua was hurt. He has something like a 14-23 record in his career, but he's played on some really bad teams, like some bad top to bottom teams. So record, I always like to say record is not a quarterback stat. It's a team stat. Now, the quarterback obviously enhances the chances of winning, but it's not the end all be all. So what I thought we would do just for a couple minutes here is play a little bit of the schedule game and go through the Browns schedule as it stands now. And knowing now that Deshaun Watson will miss the first 11 games, which is the first 12 weeks, because they have the bye kind of smack dab right in the middle. So we obviously all know who we're opening up against. We're opening up at Carolina, which Baker Mayfield was just named the starting quarterback in that game. So you better believe there will be some all eyes on Charlotte, North Carolina, with Baker Mayfield going against the Browns. And that will be a very, very interesting game. Carolina's got a lot of weapons, and the Browns defense, is going to be chirping and barking and trying to get the best of Baker, as Baker will try to get the best of the Browns. And that will be a fun must-see game. You look at week two, the home opener, you come home, you face the New York Jets. Zach Wilson, their starting quarterback, just hurt his knee. He had surgery. He's going to be out. Joe Danier's buddy, Joe Flacco, will be the starting quarterback in that game for the New York Jets. So he will be under center, a former division rival with the Ravens, now playing quarterback for the Jets as their backup, as Zach Wilson on the mend. Then you have a quick layoff. You're still at home. You bring in the Pittsburgh Steelers, obviously a division rival, a heated game, always contested, no matter if the Browns are good or bad. Always, the Steelers are always going to be a tough out no matter what. I don't care what their quarterback situation is. By all accounts, Mason Rudolph is not very well liked by the Pittsburgh Steeler fan base. So we can agree on something as Browns and Steelers fans. No one likes Mason Rudolph, but they are big Kenny Pickett fans in Pittsburgh. And obviously you have Mitch Trubisky, a Cleveland kid who was brought in the offseason. So those two kind of battling for the starting job. Pittsburgh's only going to keep two quarterbacks, in my opinion. So I could very easily see Mason Rudolph being cut by the Steelers. We'll see about that. But I think Mitch Trubisky wins the job, and Kenny Pickett will be the backup quarterback there in Pittsburgh. In Atlanta arguably has one of the worst teams in the league. You can probably say Atlanta, Seattle, probably fighting for that number one spot, but year in, year out, you don't know what you're going to get. But Marcus Mariota will be the quarterback for the Atlanta Falcons. The Browns, the first four games especially, don't look super tough. But again, this is on paper. You play the games on the field. We see what happens. Game five. Los Angeles Chargers come into town, and Justin Herbert, you have arguably one of the best quarterbacks in the league. The Chargers are one of those teams. They have not made the playoffs in a while, but they are hyped up every single year, and partly for a good reason. They have great talent on their roster, but they have not shown it by dominance on the field. So that will be a tough game. The next game, you got the Patriots coming in, and that will be another tough one, Mac Jones. But I don't know, but anytime you got Bill Belichick as your head coach, you got a chance. Then you're into the division games, Baltimore and Cincinnati, and that will take you into the bye week. So Baltimore will be, again, we'll see what happens, but Baltimore was decimated by injuries last year. And at one point was the number one seed in the AFC. They were 8-3 and lost a bunch of games towards the end of the year. But Baltimore should be back and should be pretty good. You have the AFC champion, Cincinnati Bengals, which is so weird to say, but they will be represented. That is actually a game on Halloween night in Cleveland. So that takes you up the first half of the year. The Browns have the bye week, week 9. You go to Miami. You couldn't have two different games, because you go to Miami and then you're at Buffalo the following week, which is so weird. And then Tampa Bay and Tom Brady come to Cleveland, and that is the last game of Deshaun Watson's suspension, so where he will return. So Deshaun Watson should be back for Houston, Cincinnati, Baltimore, the Saints, Washington, and Pittsburgh to end the season. So he will, if healthy, will play 6 games to finish the season and miss the first 11 games. So I'm looking at that. If the Browns can go 6-5 during those first 11 games, I think they got a really, really good shot to make the playoffs. But, I'm getting a little ahead of myself. I think the Browns, especially with a backup quarterback, are going to have to, you know, play smart, but they are built to run the football and they are a very solid defensive team. You have Amari Cooper, you have David Njoku, and you have some weapons on the offense. You know, the receiving corps, question mark outside of Cooper, and the tight ends, we got to improve that bunch. And the offensive line staying healthy is another question too. So that's what we're looking at right now for the Cleveland Browns. Obviously a ton of big news that came out today, but you know, if you guys have thoughts, feel free to chime in because, you know, I'm trying to be sensitive about this too, because I know this is a subject that is not easy to talk about and we're not going to get into that. I'm trying to stick to the football perspective, but the Browns and Deshaun Watson and the league have some closure and we know where we're going from this point on. So let's finish out training camp strong. Right now, the Browns are going against the Philadelphia Eagles in camp. I wouldn't even, unless you're really interested at the back end of the Browns roster, don't waste your Sunday watching the Browns preseason game, unless that's really something you're interested in, because today and tomorrow, or excuse me, Thursday and Friday will be real important days for the Browns and the Philadelphia Eagles as they have an inner squad practice, but those will be controlled setting practices in game-like situations. I don't think you're going to see a whole lot of players playing on Sunday that are starters or impact players for the Browns or the Eagles for that matter. So, all right, let's switch gears. Want to also let you know that Youngstown Studio and the 330 show, sports show, is brought to you by Youngstown Click. We appreciate their sponsorship for our studio and, you know, just supporting what we're doing down here. Also, the Moliterno Insurance Agency has been a great supporter of our studio and our show. So we thank those guys for what they do. All right. Now, Steve Leslie will not be joining us on the show today, but I asked him, since high school football, believe it or not, kicks off tonight in the state of Ohio, which is so crazy. On my way down to the studio, I sat behind a school bus, you know, the blinkers out. So it's that time of the year. The yellow buses are out. The grass is green. Lights go on and high school football kicks off tonight. So I want to thank Steve Leslie for week in, week out. He is the general manager over at YSN. Him and DJ Yokely do a very, very nice job over there. So Steve sent me his week one games of the week. Obviously, we don't know a whole lot until these guys get on the field. We know some players to look out for and stuff. So from week to week, Steve is going to join us on the show, kind of give us his games of the week, what, you know, which games to look for, and you know, which players and coaches made the biggest impact in the previous week. So we will look forward to that. But want to give you a quick little, you know, snapshot at the most important games tonight that Steve likes, and you can find all these games at ysnlive.com. They do a fantastic job of promoting our local athletes, and you know, hopefully we have plans on doing some stuff with them in the future. But Cheney at Poland will be tonight. We have Brookfield Warriors at the Ursuline Irish. We have the Springfield Tigers in a big game against South Range. That's probably two of their biggest, you know, one of the biggest games of the season for both of those teams, Springfield and South Range. So those are the biggest three games tonight to look for. And then Friday night, I'm a Boardman grad, so I always knew the rivalry of Boardman and Mooney. But it's strange. Mooney is no longer playing its games at YSU. It's playing its games at Mineral Ridge High School. So Boardman will travel to Mineral Ridge High School to play that game against the Cardinal Mooney Cardinals. And it's still a great, great rivalry. Another game tomorrow night that's really interesting. Foothill, Nevada, which is out of Henderson, Nevada, which is right outside of Las Vegas, travels all the way to Eastern Ohio, Northeast Ohio, to take on the Austintown Fitch Falcons. Austintown Fitch has some of the best talent in the area. I know they have a defensive end over there that's being recruited by Georgia, Ohio State, a bunch of these big name programs, and should be a player to keep an eye on throughout the year. And then finally, Coach Pavlansky and the Canfield Cardinals. We had Coach Pavlansky on our show last year, and with obviously his brother in Poland. They will be taking on the West Branch Warriors. So those are the big six games of the week. So keep an eye out for them. And again, thanks to Steve Leslie from YSN. Check out those games, especially if you're a fan of those teams. And we will have weekly updates for you throughout the season. So thanks again to Steve. Moving on now to basketball news. Just one piece of basketball news, but kind of affects Cleveland. Obviously, we know our old buddy LeBron James is the highest paid NBA player by money guaranteed. I saw something where after this contract expires that he just signed yesterday, he'll have made north of $530 some million through his contract, through the life of his contracts. But he just re-upped with the Los Angeles Lakers, which kind of puts to bed the rumor of him possibly joining the Cleveland Cavaliers again next season. So that was rumored to be out there. Maybe LeBron will come back and join the Cavs. But I don't think we're going to see that unless it's at the very twilight of his career. And, you know, maybe his son comes and plays in Cleveland or something like that to kind of like close the chapter on his career. But LeBron James is getting up there. I think he's entering like season like 20 or 21 in the NBA, which is just incredible. And he's still doing great things at his age. And then finally, check in with the Cleveland Guardians. They are now sitting at a 63-55 record. They are still one game up of the Minnesota Twins, two games up on the Chicago White Sox, who they will host the next three nights. They are off today, but over the weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, they will host the White Sox. They will then travel to San Diego, one of my favorite stadiums in all of baseball. Then they will be at Seattle. So San Diego and at Seattle for a West Coast swing, and then back home for the Baltimore Orioles. That's a look kind of at their schedule to close out August and start the month of September. So the Guardians, couple interesting things. 14 players have made their major league debuts this season with the Cleveland Guardians, which is unheard of. That's amazing. So from Stephen Kwan to just all these guys up and down the lineup, they're doing great things with the youngest team in Major League Baseball. I don't think that can be said enough. And this team fights and fights and fights every single night. They are never completely out of a game. So I'll close it out with the sports section there. Joe, anything either you want to add on from a sports perspective or your trip to Mansfield last night?
I want to save it up so I can do it appropriately. So Tuesday I'll bring you up to speed.
Okay. All right. Very good. Yeah. Joe needs to get some sleep. Joe's running on what, 2-3 hours sleep. Yeah. So that's rough, but everyone enjoy your weekend. We appreciate you guys watching and listening. And as always, for Joe, I'm Justin. Have a great weekend, and we will see you guys next week.
Thank you for listening to this show on Youngstown Studio. If you like our programming, we invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow our Facebook page, or subscribe to your favorite podcast platform like iTunes or Spotify. This is original Youngstown content, and we would appreciate you sharing the videos and the word about it.